Jesus said, "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." Welcome to the Evangelia Show. Hear life-changing testimonies from our Paradise Cook Islands with your host, Mania Clark Mamanu.
Kia rana, shalom, shalom. I'm really blessed to have with me again Phil Hosking to talk more on his trip to Israel. And I really want to pick up again on your time in Galilee. Some other places we went to as well was the worship chapel, which was along the Galilee Sea. That was a sort of a place not dedicated to Peter, but it had a boat, like a replica representing Peter's boat in the chapel area. And then downstairs they had different pictures that depicted elements of Christ's healing or miracles along the Sea of Galilee.
Yeah, well, they didn't really make it downstairs. we were all seated where they had the boat, and the tour guide was sharing the story and asked if we wanted to just have a few moments and feel free to go downstairs. I couldn't get up, I had the guitar in my hands. I looked at it, I thought about it. You know what? Why not? I'm gonna sing worship, and I just worshiped the Lord and sung, Yahweh will manifest himself. And it's just such an amazing song. And I thought, what better place to sing it than here? And then I just started singing. And then people started surrounding and started singing with me. And, I just broke out in tears. And it was definitely, a moment of impacting right there. And I just, thanked the Lord for a lot, for everything, basically. And yeah, that was me for Galilee.
Wow, that is so beautiful. I love that. He like arrested you in places.
Yeah. It's just, you can't get away, yeah.
Beautiful that he caused you, that you wanted to worship. And like you said, that's part of your ministry, is part of the worship team at Celebration, is definitely that. And I love it how God was making it so personal for you and his encountering you.
Yes. Yeah, well, for worship, for me, it's always been me, no one else around, at home with a guitar and just worshiping, and those are the most special moments when it comes to praise and worship for me. Most of the time whenever I was on stage leading worship, most of the time I can only just see myself and worshiping God at a specific place I have at home. And it's, sometimes I cry, but try not to, because you're trying to be composed in front of everyone in church and not care really that you're being encountered by God right then and there. And those little moments will always be special to me, you could be on stage, you could be doing this and that, but really, where you're encountering God is what's important. And for me, that's where I've been encountering God, and it's all in those secret places where it's just me and the Lord. And that's where that was brought into, that was brought into Galilee. I brought that from home in there. I just worshiped, and his presence definitely comes around worship. There's just something about worship that really changes the atmosphere. And when you worship with music, and it just changes everything, and so I couldn't help it. But yeah, that's Galilee, that's that place.
I love it. What about the Jordan River, where some of us were being baptized?
That was cool, because we had two total strangers come up to us as everyone was getting baptized. And she comes up to me and she asks, "Can we get baptized?" It takes a lot of courage to ask that, to ask someone who you absolutely don't know to ask, that. And I say, so I go and ask Uncle Corder, and because Uncle Corder's the one baptizing everyone. And so he says, "Why not? Why not?"
Yeah.
And these ladies weren't a part of our group, but they were baptized that day. That's what it's about, It's no matter where you're from, what you do, we're all, you know, bodies of Christ. We're all one body eventually. And when, you know, they want to get baptized, come. Mm. You know, we know each other in the spirit, come, you know, and they got baptized. And that was really, really awesome, seeing total strangers. And we, you know, we became friends, we got photos together with these ladies. And
then another third American.
Yes, the American guy. Yeah, that's right. And then he comes out of nowhere as well, and he says, oh, me too. And the people he's with are like, oh, you have pasta? And we say, no, but we have someone who can baptize, you know, our leader of our, which was Uncle Kura. And they look and, oh, okay, they agree. And what happens? He gets baptized. Mm. And he comes out and he's like, yeah, you know, and he's crying and emotional. And it was definitely an emotional day. And that's what it's supposed to be. You know, that's what baptism is supposed to be. It's a life-changing event. Mm. And I saw lives change that day. And, you know, I've already been baptized. And
the worship was amazing.
And yes, we were worshiping there as well. I don't think we had the guitar.
No.
We just started worshiping.
A cappella.
Yeah, a cappella. And we started singing, and they joined in, you know, and there were songs they knew, and we just started singing, breaking out. And it's funny because nearly everywhere we went, we sang. We sang songs. And yeah, it's funny, everywhere we'd go, there was a song. When we were at the airport leaving, there was a song.
Yeah, now that song, what a powerful song that was.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you want to talk about that moment?
Yes, well, you know, as most people know, the war broke out. A few days into the war, we were leaving. And at the airport, what happened was the sirens went off. And, you know, we couldn't hear it. We didn't know what was going on. And all we see is this one lady get up and run. And we see everyone running. And the radio is going off. We don't, the comms are going off. We don't understand what she's saying.
Mm.
And we assume, okay, run for shelter. And so we grab our bags. And I'm like, ah, you know, why do I have to? I'm just going to stay here. But no, we all start going somewhere, and the shelters are all full, and you can hear bombs going off in the distance. You know, you can literally hear them exploding not too far from the airport.
What
and they're
were
like,
your thoughts?
Oh, wow. There's a fearful thought. He's like, wow, this is actually happening. What if one hits the airport? You know, those kind of thoughts. And then eventually, I think it was Uncle Kura who agrees, no, we're going to sing a song. Let's sing a song.
After some prayer?
Yeah. We start praying, yeah, definitely prayer, and then that's where it kicks off, eh? It shoots off from there, and then we started worshiping. We sung, I raise a hallelujah. Everyone was looking at us like, oh man, these people are. And then there was, I think it was the blessing, and we started seeing the blessing.
The words of I raise a hallelujah, perfect. I raise a hallelujah.
Yeah, I'm
in
gonna
the presence
sing in the middle of the storm,
yes.
Louder and louder. And you're gonna hear my
praises roar.
And so this moment, everyone's freaking out, and people are looking at us like, hey, these people are singing in the middle of this.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, people, yeah, I don't know how others reacted, but we were peaceful. You know, we were like, no, our God's got us.
Yeah.
Our God's got us. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has got us.
That's
our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He's got us. And what happened after that? We walked onto that plane, still boarded that plane that day. Still shot off into the sky and made our way to Dubai and safe and sound.
Mm.
And, you know, rockets going off in the distance. You know, well, all good.
All good.
You know,
yeah.
We made it, and the Lord took us through it. But yeah, definitely that part was a big one,
yeah.
Coming back home.
Yeah.
And you miss Israel. I was having, like, dreams coming back after. I'm just like, oh, mate, I must. Really miss Israel, eh? But yeah.
Places like Jordan, when we went to Petra and did the camel ride and stayed at the tent. What spoke to you in Jordan?
In Jordan, you got Petra, where you got to walk that whole distance. And, oh, mate, our mamas are something else, eh?
Yeah, your mama was incredible.
All our lovely ladies making it to the end, right at
yeah.
the end. And yeah, it was definitely a big walk. My feet had it, and I was like, oh, no, that's enough. Let's go home.
Yeah.
And but yeah, just walking that walk, it felt ancient, you know? You felt like you were walking not in the 21st century, that's for sure. You know, you felt as if you were walking in a time that was before you. And it was just like, wow, this is amazing, you know. And people, ancient civilizations walked this place, built this place. And, you know, I'm picking up rocks like this. Oh, that's a nice rock, you know. That's a nice rock. And, you know, taking it. And I'm like, oh, I don't even know I'm supposed to do this, but just put it in my pocket because, you know, I love the rocks.
Maybe we come from Petra.
And, oh, well, they're at home now. So, you know, there wasn't any issues with them. But,
nice.
Yeah, the rocks are beautiful because they remind me of places like Petra. And
very cool. Jerusalem.
Hmm.
When we first saw Jerusalem and we were parked up on our bus on the Temple Mount.
Yes, overwhelming, overwhelming. This is where Jesus stood a lot, on the Mount Olives. That's where we ended up, and we ended up walking down the Mount Olives. The Mount Olives now is a burial site. And the interesting thing about this burial site is it's different religions. You had different graves pointing in different directions in terms of religions. You had many people buried, many, many, and this whole place was filled with graves. And for us, because the Mount Olives is where the Bible describes Jesus will come back and stand and he returns.
That's right.
And so what happens as soon as he comes? The dead rises, you know? And where are the dead buried? Where it says Jesus will come back.
Mm.
And so... you know, we're waiting for the Messiah to come back, and he will come back there. And standing there, it's just, wow, you see Jerusalem, you see the old wall, you see the Temple Mount, you see everything from this particular place. And where you stand there, you just, it's just breathtaking.
Mm.
So, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Totally.
A big impact.
Big impact. Garden of Gethsemane, when we come down and we... go into the garden area with all the olive trees and so on.
That's good. That's another interesting place because that's where, you know, Jesus sweated with blood in the garden. And he sweats blood out of nervousness. And, you know, I don't know what definition people have about that, but my definition is he was sweating blood. You only sweat blood when you were extremely nervous. And that's where, in that garden, he was praying to God the Father the night before he was betrayed. And you only bleed when you're extremely nervous, and he was extremely nervous. But I don't think he was extremely nervous with, you know, for me, many people may not agree, but for me, he was extremely nervous about being separated from God. Mm. Because on the cross, he says, Father, why have you forsaken me? So on that cross is the first time in existence where the Son is separated from the Father. Why? Because of sin. Because Christ became the very embodiment of sin for us. And so, you know, sin cannot stand before God. And Christ became that for us. And when he died, all that sin died when it was buried. And he rose again, Christ, you know, alive, resurrected. And so there, he's bleeding, and the nervousness of his worries and being separated from God, it impacts you. It just tells you, man, you know, just how much the Father loves us, that he was willing to be separated from his Son, that we may be sinless. And so for me, whew, that garden was amazing.
Lovely insight. I've never looked at it that way or had that revelational thought. Now, one of the days while we were in Jerusalem, we went to the Garden Tomb as part of the Feast of Tabernacle and had communion service there.
That was because you know, we celebrate communion. We do communion ourselves, and doing it, we did it as a whole feast. Basically, what it means is we did that as different countries in this one tiny place, and we all shared communion together. And I still have the piece of wood, the wooden cup they used for the, and it's amazing because, you know, you're literally sharing communion with the world, with different people from different countries. And that really impacted me a lot. and just the representation of Christ's blood, and there was certain areas of repentance that came, you know, came up for me, because it's a deep moment for me. It's a deep moment, communion, and so you start to look at your life and say, you know, Christ, is this area of my life surrendered to Christ? Is, you know, how am I in this area? Lord, forgive me. You know, Lord, forgive me. It's just a whole lot of Lord, forgive me, and really taking the communion seriously, because it's a serious moment.
It was, you know, an area that they say that Jesus was buried, but then rose again.
That I wasn't really thoughtful on that, to be honest. Because Christ is alive, you know, and I wasn't dwelling too much on the fact that is, you know, oh, this place he was buried and he rose again. Well, to me, I'm not concerned, because the fact he rose and he's alive and he's at the right hand of the Father, you know, that just makes you not really concerned much with, you know, material stuff like that that's been left behind. I don't even think Jesus would be too concerned about it either.
Nice. And what about the ICEJ Feast of Tabernacle itself?
The feast, the whole feast, amazing. I'd say the second night was something, you know. It was impactful. They shared a message on taking God seriously. It was an awesome message. And then just the worship, you know, the worship was amazing.
Mm.
And you know, you had different countries worshiping in unique ways. You had dancing, you had music going, and it just shows you, you know, just the uniqueness of worship and how it can be. And you can dance before the Lord. David danced before the Lord, and that's what I think this team was from Philippines. They were dancing before the Lord, and then you had our team go up to the front dancing before the Lord too.
Oh, that was amazing.
I think you were up there too.
Yeah. So amazing.
It was really good, and seeing everyone up there
so
dancing,
free.
Oh, mate, it was amazing. And one of the nights we had this African guy, and he was leading the worship, and you know, I just looked at this man, and you could tell, nah, this guy's got something, eh? This guy's anointed, definitely. And you could, and when he sung just one word, Adonai, and he just sung it in the most beautiful way, and it just captured me. I was like, man, and I was singing along, and then he plays his trumpet. Woo! You know, and the song's on YouTube, just saying.
Yeah.
The Adonai song that he sung. But yeah, I was just stoked. I don't know what else to do but worship along with him, and yeah, that's, the feast was amazing. And then it was, so I was sad that we couldn't finish the feast because we had other things to do. But you know, still, yeah, feast
amazing,
was
good. Temple Mount.
Oh yes, Temple Mount. Yeah, well, Temple Mount was interesting because it is under Palestinian authority. It's under Arab authority, and you know, it's not like I had, you know, anything against it. You know, we were able to go in, being tourists. You know, they're probably like, oh, they don't know, they didn't know we're Christian. You know, and we're going up there, and being there, that's where, you know, where the temple stood. And obviously there's something impacting there, and there was. And you just, when you think about it, you're walking around this Temple Mount, you know, and the Temple Mount actually has Christian origins. It used to be a church, and they built that in the, you know, a while back, and then it was taken over, and eventually, yeah. But for me, just being up there was enough for me. It was enough for me. You can feel this place has a lot of meaning to it for different religions, especially Judaism, you know, Jewish. That's where the temple was, literally. And I know it's a sensitive topic, but you know, for us Christians, yes, the temple was there as well. But for us Christians, we are the temple now. You know, we are the temple of God, where the Spirit of God abides.
Mm.
And Christ died so that this temple will be cleansed.
Mm.
You know, and yeah, that's the Temple Mount was interesting.
What about the Wailing Wall when we got to go there?
Wailing Wall, you know, you get to pray there. There, I didn't want to say much, because it's, you know, when you go before a king, are you gonna complain, or are you gonna say many words? No, you're gonna be in awe, you're gonna be in fear. And I just went before the wall, as if, you know, going before the Lord. I didn't say much. I just said, Lord, thank you. Lord, forgive me. Lord, you know, and there wasn't much to say, because I didn't want to say much, you know. And being at this wall, many people have come to this wall crying, praying, putting prayer requests into the wall. And I had a paper, but what happened was, we went through a tunnel, which I think it's
a tunnel underneath the wall.
Yes, the old tunnel
depicts all the layers of stones that have been built
over the centuries
as it's been conquered.
Yes,
as Jerusalem was conquered.
We went through that tunnel and managed to sneak my paper in there.
Did you?
On the old wall.
Oh.
So I was like, oh, there we go, there's the old wall, and put it in there. And
nice.
For me, because I wrote that request here, and it was just a whole thank you, Lord, you know, stir up my heart for you and all that stuff. Yeah, and yeah, just a whole lot with the Wailing Wall.
In closing, what would you like your last words to our listeners, and all you're sharing about Israel and how, you know, the Lord's encountered you so personally?
Yes.
Yeah, what would you like to say to them?
For me, what I would like to say is, if you ever get the opportunity, go, you know, go. You may not go for spiritual reasons, go anyway. Because other people I know personally have gone for non-spiritual reasons and have come back, given their life to the Lord, have come back impacted, and have come back changed, you know, with a wider perspective of the Bible. And so I'd encourage anyone to go, for surely. And, you know, go with an open heart, go with a discerning heart, and go with a a readiness to walk a lot, because there is a lot of walking, and but it was, you know, it's good walking.
By the end of it, we were mean walking machines.
Yes.
I tell you,
it was like, oh, you know, from where we started to where we were leaving, you know, we were walking like it was nothing.
Yeah.
And but yeah, definitely an awesome 3 to 4 weeks of traveling. And this is the birthplace of Christ. That's it is. And in Israel, it's gonna change anyone's life going there. And so I'd encourage anyone who does want to go for it. For a holiday, just go. It's up to you. Go in a group. It's better when you go in a group, because you have other people there that are gonna keep you company, and they're gonna share the experience with you. So yeah, I, you know, bless anyone who is wanting to go.
If you would like to discuss this testimony more, contact celebrationrarotonga.com website or Celebration Church Rarotonga Facebook page. And to hear other life-changing testimonies, subscribe to Te Evangelia Show podcast and on Spotify. Kia metakito ora e kia manuia. Ie koko.